Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to check us out on TV. Presented by EMP180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area because it works. You can always visit EMP180.com and get empowered. Coming up later this hour, give you a chance to win some great prizes for Mother's Day on a game show Wednesday. That's coming up in about 20 minutes. But join us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline as he does every Wednesday, the president of baseball ops, GM of the Washington Nationals, as we go in the clubhouse, Mike Rizzo. Presented by Burke and Herbert Bank, unexpectedly different. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hello, Mike. We're hanging in there. We took a ton of calls earlier wondering the team's 14-21. You're not going to run away from it. Wondering why. And a lot of it has to do with injuries. What are you seeing thus far this season?
Well, you know, first and foremost, you know, there's nobody more upset and disappointed and frustrated with the season than I am. You know, this isn't a typical Washington Nationals start. You know, we all know the numbers. You know, we're one of the most successful teams in the last seven seasons. We're, you know, one of the few teams over the last 7 years that have played at a 500 or better level. You know, we've averaged 94 or 5 wins over the last 7 years and won some championships, some division championships. So there's nobody more upset and disappointed than I am. With that said, you know, we've played bad baseball just in general. I think the one bright spot, our big three starters have given us a chance to win each and every time out. They've pitched well. They've deserved better fates. But beyond that, you know, the bullpen is obviously it's been poor. The offense after the injuries has been you know, practically non-existent. And most importantly to me, which impacts the starting pitching, the bullpen pitching, is our defense. Our defense has been as bad as I've seen it since I've come to Washington. Mm. And beyond the ERA, you talk about you know, metrics that measure.
What happened?
Oh,
kind of like the Nats season.
I didn't move.
This is getting good.
I didn't move. Call him back.
He's taking ownership for the bad defense. It's just
hold on.
Tough.
See if he's still there, or you have to call him back.
Man, it was getting good.
We'll track him back down in Milwaukee.
That was pretty hard.
There was some powerful statements.
He was going hard on him.
Yeah.
Can you call him back? I didn't move.
Try to hang up on that line. It's frozen.
All right, hold on. He's probably still talking, by the way.
He might be.
Should I just close the thing?
Man.
Sorry, we'll get him back. Don't worry.
He's frustrated. Oh, yeah. Can you blame him? Of course he's frustrated.
It looks like it just says block all. I don't know.
There you go. All right,
now it's on. Let's call him back.
See if you call him back. He was going hard, dude.
He said that the defense is some of the worst he's ever seen since he's been here.
Yep.
Yeah. Well that's exactly what I'm going to follow up on.
Last week we had a statistic, and it was one of these analytical statistics where they were ranked 25th out of 30 teams. Yeah. And it may have gotten worse because that's kind of prior to Key Boom.
Believe me, there's not a stat he doesn't know.
Of course he knows, and I'm just saying that for the audience.
Yeah. Is he there?
For what?
Mike, I'm sorry, but you were on fire.
All right,
we lost you. The defense.
Mike, we lost you after you were talking about the defense.
Yeah, you said it's some of the worst defense you've seen since you've been here.
Yeah, the defense, and it affects the pitching, you know what I mean? The stat for fielding independent pitching, which is a calculation of you know, adds the defensive element into the pitching, our FIP is middle of the pack, and our ERA is the worst, so it shows the impact that defense has on pitching and not only starting pitching but bullpen. So there's been a collective underperformance in a lot of different areas, and there's a lot of blame to go around, and you know, we just have to right this ship. You know, we've got about 22% of the season's gone. So we've got about 80%, 78 to 80% left of the season to write this thing. And I'm not going to stop believing in this team that has Matt Scherzer and Strasburg and Corbin and Suzuki and Gomes and Rendon and Turner and Soto and Robles, Eaton. This team is just too good, too talented to give up on with 80% of the season left. So disappointed and upset, I still have optimism that that we're going to turn this thing around. Rendon came back yesterday, which was a big uplifting day for us. He made some good plays at third base, those are things to come. So, you know, we've got guys coming behind him. Hopefully that, you know, we're going to see Juan Soto here maybe towards the end of this road trip. Return to the lineup. Matt Adams shouldn't be too far behind, and Trey Turner has been progressing and improving quite a bit. So, once we get those guys back, I think that the offense and the defense will stabilize, and I think that we'll really get a gauge on what type of chance and what type of team that we have going forward in the last 80% of the season.
All right. Thank you. Great answer. I'm trying to read between the lines what you said, because last week you said something and we didn't catch at the time, and you said the bullpen obviously wasn't prepared and you had already decided you were going to move on. I'm sure it was a difficult decision for you.
It was.
Yeah, I don't have any doubt about it. But here's a question. As you know, and you know this, the fans want their pound of flesh too, right, because they're invested in this. And so,
certainly.
So what? One thing that's killing them, and I know it's killing you, and there is no doubt about it, that Davey talked to us, you guys talked to us, it was a theme of spring training, the little things. And there's no question in my mind, although I wasn't there to see the workouts, that the spring training workouts were designed around those things, right? Some of the stuff you said is the worst you've seen. It was designed around better defense, hitting cutoff guys, right? Errors, base running mistakes. There's no question about it. It was a point of emphasis. And when it doesn't happen, though, Mike, even though we know Davey knew it, it was a point of emphasis, but when it doesn't happen, is Davey ultimately responsible for that?
Well, the base running has been really good this year. So, I mean, we're one of the best base running teams in the game. That's the one positive aspect of the team that we've been really good at. The defense, yeah, I think that, you know, the defense is, it's predicated on who's playing out there. You know, you've got, I think when we're a defense that has our people on the field with Rendon and Turner and Zim at first, I think that's our two catchers. That's a solid defensive infield. But when you lose Rendon, Turner, and Zimmerman, and you've got Howie Kendrick playing first, and you've got Carter Kieboom playing short, and Defoe playing third, or Howie playing third, you've got three or four people playing out of position. I think that's when it really, the wheels start falling off. It's hard to prepare for those type of scenarios when so many players at so many critical positions get hurt at the same time. Nobody has the depth to account for four or five starting players out of your eight to go down, and think that you'll have not only the same offensive capabilities, but often lost in the shuffle is the defensive capabilities, and I think that that's a big aspect of it.
Mike, a lot of the fans we talk to, I mean, I'm going to guess 80%, they just want to see a change at manager. And I know it's your guy. I don't know how to feel about it, because I don't know how much control he's got. When you talk to Davey, is it like a head scratcher to him that all these things are going wrong as well? Or do you when you say that everyone, is to blame, do you put a share of blame on Davey because of these reasons?
Oh, certainly. There's blame to go around when you're playing this poorly. But there's blame on me. There's blame on the players. There's blame on the coaches. There's blame on everybody. It's certainly there's enough to go around. And like I told Barry Saluga of the Washington Post the other day, the players are acquired. I acquire the players. I'm responsible for the the players on the field. So if they're underperforming, they're not performing, that's on me. If the bullpen is not if capable of performing, that's on me. So, you know, I take that very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the same context, you know, when we won 98, 97 games. These players are acquired by me. I'm responsible for them. And you know, ultimately they have to perform. Now the manager's role is to manage the team, to manage the clubhouse, to manage, you know, 35 personalities, and to put them in the best position to succeed. And I think that Davey has great control of the clubhouse. I think the players play hard for him, and I think that it's very, very hard to make a critique about anybody with the amount of injuries that we've had this season, and the importance of the players that we have had out of the lineup for extended periods of time.
What about the bullpen, which has largely been healthy? I feel for you, Mike, in a lot of ways, because you got guys that are just all having bad years all at the same time. It's like you can't even imagine this. So, okay, we could just maybe even argue it, but Rosenthal is a gamble. So far, it hasn't paid off. So that mm-hmm. one kind of blew up on our face, but we love the guy. Hopefully, it comes back. But then, like, Suero, Miller, Grace, all these guys, they're all, like, all at the same time underperforming. Like, this, you got to be just killing yourself when you're watching this thing unfold, because these are not the guys that you expect to have.
Well, you know, we go by our track record and how we view them and how we see them moving forward. You know, you see Suero, you know, at times can look really, really good, and then he's been inconsistent. You know, Bearclaw has been very, very good for us for the majority of this year. Of course, Doolittle's been, you know, outstanding.
Right.
But yeah, you know, you look at the back of the baseball cards, and you know, Gracie had a terrific year last year. You know, he had a sub-3 ERA. I think 2.83 ERA last year. We utilized him a lot. He's scuffling. Rosenthal, yeah, very high risk, high reward type of sign. You know, we haven't given up on him. We're hoping to get something successful there from him. But yeah, they have as a group underperformed. And then obviously when you start pressing, you know, things go bad, and you know, seeing night singles happen, or you make an error here and an error there, and you know, you don't make the plays. And also, like I said, the defense has really impacted the bullpens. Also, it's just we give up too many outs. We and they're called hits. You know, you look at that game against Milwaukee. You know, our first game in there. You know, Jennings gets a ground ball to second base.
Yeah.
We don't make the play. Check swing to third base. We throw it away. A spinner in front of the plate.
Yeah.
We don't make the play.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess it all goes into, you know, a poor performance by the bullpen. But you make some of those plays, and it's a different outcome. So, like I said, there's a lot of things going wrong with the team right now. We're certainly playing bad baseball, and we have to turn it around. We have 80% of the season to turn it around. So, like I said, with this, with the players I mentioned, and the superstar capabilities that we have with a lot of our players, we should be a lot better. And I think when we get healthy, we'll certainly you know, have a potent lineup and a good rotation. And again, the bullpen will have to perform better and perform close to their capabilities.
Mike, I believe in your theory back of the baseball card. But we also know that sometimes guys just have bad years. It just happens.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you decide it's fair to say, you know what, this is just, he's not going to perform like the back of his baseball card this year. We got to move on. We got to make a change. Like, what is the, you know what I mean? What's the cutoff?
Well, there's no cutoff. There's no date. There's no cutoff. You have to utilize your experience and feel for it. And often your moves are dictated by opportunities. And if, you know, it's May 6th, you know, everyone's in the race. There's nobody making major trades, and everyone's seen what they've got. And when you make the decision to move on or make changes, you know, you have to have an opportunity and a partner to do that. So we're always on the lookout to improve our team. You know, we always say that, and we're certainly no strangers to changing course in the middle and even early in the seasons.
Mike, I don't know if you want to answer this or not, but I'm just going to ask you anyway. how do you temper your boss's bitterness and dismay with just trying to keep cooler heads and just trying to convince your bosses, specifically the learners, look, it's still early, we're going to get these guys back? Or is it, I mean, you feel pressure just like Davey feels pressure, just like the players feel pressure, but that's got to be a tough job too when you're trying to convince your boss, look, there's a reason why this is happening.
Well, I think, they're, like I said, we're complete partners in this. We're, there's not a decision that's made in the off season that we're all not involved in. So we're all invested in this. So yeah, they're upset, just like you are and I am and everybody else is, the players are. I think, they've been in this for a while now. This is their 13th year of owning a team. They've been through bad teams before. They've been through great teams before. We've had, the bar is really high for baseball in Washington, D.C., which is a good thing because it wasn't like that years ago, as you guys know. But they get it. They understand it. And, we just have to keep the communication open and have rationales for the decisions that we make. And they have to be in the best interest of the team and trying to help us win. Our goal, their goal, my goal is to win a championship for Washington, D.C. area. And we never waver on that mile marker and that goal. So that's our goal. We're going to keep striving to do it. And I think that, with the way the team looks now is does not look good, but hopefully in the next, coming days and weeks, we'll get our guys back and we can start playing some baseball again. Mm.
Joined by Mike Rizzo, president of baseball ops and general manager of the Nationals. Just wanted you to quickly kind of assess Keyboom's stint with the Nationals, what you saw positive, and all of us saw the defense, that there were some struggles in 10 games.
Struggled defensively. His offense was always ahead of his defense. We knew that bringing him up. We brought him up by necessity. But the good thing is he's a young, bright 21-year-old player with a great baseball IQ. He's got crazy good talent and tools and we're the good thing is we got his feet wet. He's been to the big league, so oftentimes the next time you get here, you're not nearly as overwhelmed and the game slows down quite a bit your second time here. So he's a big part of the future here. He's going to be here for a long time, and we think that he has a good long career as an everyday player for us in the very, very near future. And to me, he's one of the best prospects in the game.
Mike, here's what could turn it around for the Nats if somebody hits for the cycle. Derek B. from Columbia is banking on the cycle tonight with Burke and Herbert Bank. Derek is already taking home a $100 gift card. But if any Washington baseball player hits for the cycle during tonight's game, he also takes home $100,000. Courtesy of Burke and Herbert Bank, enter for your chance to bank on the cycle during next Wednesday's game. Go to thefandc.com/contest. Mike, thanks as always for joining us, and hope the Nats can turn it around on the rest
ASAP.
Of the road trip.
Today.
Yep. Today. Thank you, Mike.
My pleasure, guys. See you next week.
Okay, buddy. Thank you.
Talk to you soon.
Yeah, I want to replay. Can we do it when we come back? I want to replay that right when he hung up, because there was a lot of stuff in there.
He was talking about the defense really
fast. Talking about the defense. I know. I just want to hear it again.
800-636-1067. We'll do that. And it is a game show Wednesday. Going to give you a chance to win those Mother's Day gifts. Mother's Day this Sunday. We have Pro Flowers gift cards for $50. Sherry's Berries $50 gift card. Plus, we have some tickets to go see the Nats take on the New York Mets. Call in now at 800-636-1067. We'll play some top five here on the Junkies.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Clark. He plays for the D-backs. He made his major league debut pitcher for the D-backs.
All right.
He's from Ashburn.
Mm-hmm. All right.
He played at Broad Run High School.
Mm-hmm.
And about 9 years ago, I went and saw him play. Went and saw him pitch.
Mm-hmm.
And last night he made his major league debut.
How old was he when you saw him play?
Oh, he was probably 16, 17.
I mean, yep. Senior in high school.
Wow.
And now and now he's probably, 24, 25.
Right.
Silly.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
I thought you were just going to do the math that a guy got called up and he was born in the year 2000. Because
right.
That happens.
Sure. That happens
now.
You know
what I mean? Where guys that were following in, were born in 2000. We were born in 70.
Yeah. I mean, I just can't believe that this kid, when I saw him pitch, I mean, he was money. He's a big kid. Can throw hard. I'm like, all right, well, he's going to play some big-time college baseball. I think he played at College of Charleston. But now he's making his major league debut. That is really cool. Local kid getting up there. Lost to Tampa, but pitched really well.
Good for Ashburn.
It is good for Ashburn.
Has he become an Ashburn notable?
I mean.
Who are the Ashburn notables?
I don't know. Me.
I guess Trace McSorley.
Trace McSorley.
Absolutely. All the Redskins.
Me and Trace.
Lurch. That's about it.
I don't know.
Some college guys.
There's a comedian, an actor slash comedian who's from Ashburn.
Ashburn?
Went to the same high school, too. Went to Broad Run. God, what's that kid's
name?
The
notable people from Ashburn, according to Wiki, Trace McSorley.
Right. Who's that actor?
Jonathan Allen.
Yeah.
Ashley Caldwell, an American freestyle skier. Olympian. Gina Haspel, director of the CIA.
All right.
First female ever appointed to that position. That's pretty big time.
Right.
Wilson Pickett. Soul singer, and Taylor Clark, who you just mentioned.
Told you. There's
another
guy.
Those are your notable people.
Yeah, but there's another guy.
So no Jason
Bishop.
Somebody needs to add.
He's not there.
Come Jason. On.
Just put Bishbucks in
there. And put all of his nicknames.
Yeah, Bishbucks.
Bishbucks.
Yeah, but
angler.
Here's the problem. I'm not from Ashburn.
That's true.
Those people are from.
Are they all?
Yeah.
Okay, born in Ashburn. They have to be born to be considered
well,
from.
Well, it says notable. I don't know what notable.
I mean, I'm from Bowie, but I wasn't born there.
True.
You've been there since you were three.
I was born in Harvey, Illinois.
Harvey, Illinois. Well, look up Harvey, Illinois. You might be in there.
Would you be in there for Champaign? Do you live in Champaign?
I lived in Champaign for 3 years.
I'm looking at Lanham, Maryland. You're not in the notable people there.
I'm bitter. Who is?
You're notable nowhere.
Probably the most famous person it's probably a tie. Peter Tork from the Monkees.
He's from Lanham?
He's born in Lanham.
No way.
According to Wiki, and Jermaine Lewis.
Yeah, Jermaine Lewis.
Go to Bowie. Do we get any love?
Let's see. Bowie MD.
Doesn't it just take one person entering something on Wiki?
But people are weird about Wiki. Like, they take it seriously.
Right.
And they'll go in there and they'll delete it if they don't think it's valid.
All right, here's your list from
people
Bowie.
Really do monitor
people
it.
People, like, the other day were theorizing Eric Berry was coming to the Red Sox.
I know, but it was on Wiki.
He had, like,
but it lasts, like,
gold.
10 seconds.
Right.
The notable people, all the people from Bowie.
I mean, Kathy Lee.
Richard Ricky Arnold. An astronaut.
All the people.
Michael Bray. Not Mike Bray.
Right.
Because this Michael Bray
was
a convicted conspirator in numerous bombings.
Oh.
From Bowie.
From Bowie?
Yep. Eva Cassidy, a singer-songwriter. EB, you get sized for this next guy.
Yeah.
Daniel Jungleman Cates.
I've interviewed Daniel, yeah.
Pro poker player. J.C. Chassez. From NSYNC.
JC. I forgot he was from Bowie.
Kathy Lee Gifford,
right?
Who claims she's from West Annapolis.
She always said West Annapolis.
So she's from Bowie. We know this. And of course,
there's no West Annapolis.
Mike Lonergan.
Mike gets in there.
He's on the
junks.
Junks are not.
No one even knew who he was until the junks.
Are we in the Bowie Radio Hall of Fame?
Well, I mean, that's really.
I don't think we are in the Bowie Hall of Fame.
Remember, they came out to our like. When we did that show from
whatever
government building, maybe that's
a radio hall of fame. It's in like a double wide trailer. It's
all in the radio.
No, it's
hall
like an old. It's not
some
a trailer.
House.
It's like an old haunted house, like structure.
By the way, the comedian / actor is Patton Oswalt.
He's pretty big.
Okay, he's pretty big.
Yeah. He is pretty big.
His wife did the book on the Golden State Killer.
Oh, that's
that was his wife who passed away. Like within the last couple of years.
I know you want to play this clip. We'll play it real quick because we've got to give away these prizes.
Well, let's do the prizes first and then we'll play the clip. I don't know. What do you want to do? Play the clip then. Let's just listen to this. We missed this a week ago when he hinted. He basically said the bullpen was not prepared, which is a major tell. I've never heard him be that direct.
Or did you want what Rizzo said before he his phone
before
went
the hangout?
Okay.
Yes, before
he just
the hangout.
More
and then today, I was just setting it up. And then today. He said that he went pretty hard, and it almost sounded like he was setting the table for a fall guy.
So before the learner sabotaged his phone line, ooh, that's a good conspiracy theory. I like it.
nobody more upset and disappointed than I am. With that said, you know, we've played bad baseball just in general. I think the one bright spot, our big three starters have given us a chance to win each and every time out. They've pitched well. They've deserved better fate. But beyond that, you know, the bullpen is obviously it's been poor. The offense after the injuries has been you know, practically non-existent. And most importantly to me, which impacts the starting pitching, the bullpen pitching, is our defense. Our defense has been as bad as I've seen it since I've come to Washington. Mm-hmm. And beyond the ERA, you talk about you know, metrics that measure.
And that's when Ted Lerner got involved.
Right. The one thing, though, he later kind of couched it by saying that the defense is bad because with our injuries, guys are playing in the wrong spots, and we're playing guys.
And they rush some guys.
Which is true. It's not like he's making it up.
I know. He's not.
I know Robles butchered one. I don't remember which game it was. It was the game that they moved him to right field, and he hadn't been playing right field.
And they got behind him.
I keep emphasizing, the other day, it was Defoe at third throwing to Kendrick at first. So I was like, that's just not the way
it
was supposed to be.
When you look at it from far, okay, all right, he just said the offense is terrible since the injuries. The bullpen's been a disaster. The defense has been the worst I've ever said. Somebody's got to be accountable for that. He ain't got to fire himself.
Well, it sounds like he wants to puke when he's thinking about his team. That's what it sounds like.
The only thing he likes is
three
starters. And on paper, with all his guys, he likes that group.
But again, someone's going to have to take the fall if they keep losing.
And also, I think he's setting it up when he says, first time I've got this sense from him, where he says, I'm not giving up on this team that has Robles, Sobel, Turner, right?
Soto.
He named all the guys, and then you're like, well, then who are you giving up on? You're not giving up on I don't know. I just feel like he's setting it up.
He named guys who have been hurt and are still hurt.
They're 14-21. If it keeps trending in the direction
there's
gonna
be a fall
trending, you have to do something.
Yeah.
You got to shake it up.
I think that's what happens
in professional sports. It may not be fair, but it happens.
I think it's the first sort of public acknowledgement of where you could see it coming. Yeah.
I think a lot of people have seen it coming for a couple weeks.
Yeah, but not a public acknowledgement from the GM. That's the first time I've heard it.
All right, let's give listeners a chance to win some great prizes. Mother's Day on Sunday, we have a $50 gift card to Pro Flowers and to Sherry's Berries. Actually, we have two of those.
Let's go to Joe.
We're going
to
punch up two contestants. Joe, you're going to play somebody in top five. Okay, Joe?
Sounds good. Thanks, fellas.
And let's go to Graham. And I'm telling you, Richmond, we're blowing up in Richmond.
Very good. It's good to hear.
Graham in Richmond. Hey, Graham.
What up, Junk?
What's up, Graham?
All right, boys, here's the way the game is played. I'll throw out a category. And, Joe, since we punched you up first, you will go first. And you have to give us entries into the top five of said category. If you close it out, we hook you with the prize, okay? So, Joe, you lead off. We'll start in the NBA. NBA playoffs. Current players left. Who are the top five scorers left in the NBA playoffs? Joe?
Durant.
Kevin Durant's number one, averaging 35.4 points per game in the playoffs. Now we go to Graham.
Giannis.
Giannis squeaks in at number five, averaging 28.4 points per game. Back to Joe.
Let's go with Harden.
Harden number two at 31.3 points per game. We go to Graham.
Let's go Steph Curry.
Steph Curry not in the top five. That means Joe in Manassas.
Joe, you're a winner. You get a $50 gift card to Pro Flowers and a $50 gift card to Sherry's Berries. Head to proflowers.com or berries.com and enter code JUNKIES to choose from a variety of bouquets and freshly dipped strawberries starting just $19.99, courtesy of Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries.
Any guesses? Leading scorers, NBA playoffs, Durant, Harden, 1-2, who are 3 and 4?
Kawhi, number 3. Damian Lillard.
And Lillard, number 4.
There's not an itch in there? God, the itch has been
should
money.
Should be an itch, no
Though
doubt.
He might be leading in rebounds. He grabbed 19 of them last night.
By the way,
who are the next two contestants?
Real quick, I did make notables in Ashburn.
Someone just put it in?
You just made the list?
Fishbucks Bishop makes it. American radio personality, didn't spell American, he didn't capitalize it. From the Sports Junkies, he's got low T and loves to pick fatty.
Good description.
Let's see how long that lasts.
That'll be up there another hour.
No. It'll be gone probably by the next commercial break.
But
if
people are
real militant about
there.
It.
Had he not
militant.
Added the joke, it would have been fine.
Yeah, if he just put your name and said, radio personality.
Hey, made me laugh.
They got to don't put the shtick in there.
Yeah, just put it one spot ahead of Angelo Cataldi in the top 100 local talkers.
I am pro shtick. I like the shtick.
I like the shtick, but it doesn't last.
Yeah.
All right, who's up?
Remy. Remy, what's up?
What's up, bud?
Hey, what's up, Remy? Buddy? And let's go to Michael in Fredericksburg. Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys.
All right, same deal, Remy. You're going to lead off. We will go with the category of top five wealthiest states in the United States. This is a U.S. News and World Report survey, and it goes by the highest median household income. So top five states in terms of wealth. Remy, you lead it off.
All right, let's go with the money wealth of Virginia.
Not in the top five. Michael, if you simply get one in the top five, I'm going to hook you.
All right. How about Hawaii?
Hawaii, number five.
Wow. California's got to be in there, right?
Congrats. No, you love California.
It's not better.
California, there's so many poor people out there.
Hey, yeah, a lot of rich people, too.
Right, but they got poor people working for them.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
You're going to win that $50 gift code to ProFlowers, $50 gift code to Sherry's Berries. Head to ProFlowers.com or Berries.com. You have to code Junkies to choose from a variety of bouquets. Freshly dipped strawberries starting at just $19.99. It's courtesy of ProFlowers and Sherry's Berries. Details at thefandc.com/contest. Who is number one? I will say this. Mm-hmm. A junkie represents that state.
Junkie represents
actually,
the state.
Actually, three junkies represent the state of Maryland. Number one, most wealthiest state in America in terms of median household
income. Very nice. Look at that.
Wow. Alaska's number two, New Jersey three. Massachusetts, four.
Well, Alaska only makes because nobody lives there.
Hawaii, five.
There's five people live in Alaska.
I think Virginia was in the top 10. But
very good.
Virginia was nine.
It just
I got a different list here because my list says Alaska's seven. So
I just told you it was U.S. News and World Report.
Yeah, no, I think it just varies. That's all. But Maryland is one on this list.
Coming up next, Ben Standing's going to join us. We'll talk about the Wizards draft lottery is next week. What if they were able to land Zion Williamson?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. We're going to be joined by Ben Standig from NBC Sports Washington on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Wrote an article about the impact. It's an if article. If the Wizards would be able to land Zion Williamson, the impact they would have. And I know Cake's not going to kind of attest to this. We had an appearance at the Xfinity store when the NCAA tournament was here and Duke was playing.
Yep.
It was a madhouse. It was a scene, and the tickets were going for a ton.
If listen, I know Ben, they're trying to track him down. Or is he there? Is he on hold? If he comes here, it's a game changer. It might not even be a game changer in terms of your record, but in terms of interest level. He was the biggest story in sports.
Massive. In years for college basketball.
I think in sports. I think for a period of time, he was bigger before the playoffs, obviously. His games were bigger than like LeBron's games or Harden's games.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, good morning. What's up, buddy?
Fellas, good morning. I appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no,
have you recovered from the cat bite while you were getting your mock NFL drafts ready, which were the most accurate, by the way, in the whole biz? Congrats on that.
I appreciate that. The finger is feeling fine now, so yeah, we're all good over here. I appreciate it.
Okay, good. You're all stitched up, ready to go.
So we were just kind of talking about it, I guess, while you were on hold, that we saw this firsthand when Zion came to D.C. It was a scene. It was huge.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was incredible. Part of me has wondered, college basketball, I guess we would all probably agree, is not where it once was. And this year in particular, other than Zion Williamson, there wasn't a ton of a buzz for the sport this year. But maybe it's because he just sucked it all up. It was unbelievably compelling television every single time he was on TV. And as I wrote in the article and others who I asked for their opinions chimed in as well, I'm not a Duke guy. never been a Duke guy. Duke ranks very high on the list of sports teams I loathe from my fandom perspective. And yet I found myself almost sort of kind of pulling for Duke solely because this guy was so compelling. I just wanted to keep watching him play. And yeah, to the point, was he the most compelling guy in sports? You can make the argument he was. He certainly has reached that LeBron, Shaquille O'Neal, Iverson, like the guy who, when he comes to the league day one, you're like, I have got to see what this guy is going to do. And that's what makes him so fascinating. Beyond just being a potentially great talent, he's just got a presence that everybody wants to pay attention to.
And in your article, NBC Sports Washington, I guess you're having these discussions with guys like Rob Carlin, and you point out it kind of would be like the RG3 thing. When RG3 came, there was a huge buzz and electricity before he even played one down.
Absolutely. I mean, RG3 that year, I mean, he wasn't the number one pick, but it was pretty clear from a personality standpoint that he was the guy to see. And obviously in his case, at least for a while, it all lived up to the hype. And yeah, and sort of the point of the article, it was just based on, you know, thinking about, you know, dreaming the dream of Zion came here. What does it mean? Obviously from a Wizards perspective, it would be, I think, as EB said, a game changer on and off the court, you know, helping win games, get people in the seats, all that stuff. But when you broaden it out to the whole area, when you consider that NBA stars are basically in this country the biggest individual stars we have, they do basically trump all the other pro teams, of maybe the single exception of Tom Brady, that Zion Williamson, he's not LeBron, he's not Curry, he's not Durant, he's that next tier day one because of what he's done at Duke, because of the potential. I have no idea if he'll reach their status as a player, but as an interest, he is right there off the bat. And yeah, again, no offense to the Ovechkin people, I get it, but the NBA is different, and Zion Williamson is a different animal. Just anybody who's watched him, as you guys obviously have, I think recognizes that.
All right, so give the listeners and Wizards fans a little breakdown of what we're looking at here. So the lottery drawing will be, I believe, is it next
the
Thursday?
14th.
Yeah, May 14th. New York, Cleveland, and Phoenix were the worst three teams this past year. The next three were Chicago, Atlanta, and Washington. So kind of give us a little breakdown of what kind of percentages we're looking at.
So the Wizards only have a 9% chance of getting the number one pick. Obviously, that's not a spectacular chance. But the top teams only have a 14% chance. So it's not that it's not that extreme to think that they could actually get lucky. The NBA has changed the odds dramatically. So finishing with the worst record does not give you a massive advantage here, trying to prevent tanking and things like that. So it certainly, you know, it's both a massive long shot, and yet they're on almost the same plane as everybody else. So it's possible they could get that. They could move up to 1, 2, 3, or 4 because of the draft odds now. The top four picks are in play. Previously, it was the top three. They can't pick 5, and then after that, if they don't move up, they would either pick anywhere from 6 to 10. In this draft, it's Zion Williamson, and if you get second, a lot of people think John Morant, the point guard from Murray State, is next, but it's basically a one player draft, and everybody's gunning for that one guy. And that's like I said, on top of that's just from the playing standpoint. When you factor in the other aspect, the box office, it's really a no brainer.
And it seems like that's certainly a position of need, considering John Wall's injury, and he's going to miss some time next year, and he's going to be a different player when he does come back. So I would think that if they had an opportunity, they can't get Zion, obviously, if they had an opportunity to get a Morant or a Kobe White, someone like that, I would think maybe the kid from Vanderbilt who only played like 5 or 6 games because he got hurt. But would you agree on that?
Yeah, you know, the Wizards have had other high draft picks, you know, since they acquired John Wall. You know, Bradley Beal and Otto Porter are both third overall and so on. And nobody has ever thought for one second that you would take a point guard. It's different now. It's not that John Wall won't come back. He obviously is going to be on the payroll with this massive 4-year, $170 million contract kicking in. But the level of uncertainty with his injury at this point has gotten – I've had definitely people tell me they can't wait on him anymore. If he comes back, fantastic. They can't definitively worry about it, though. Like, you know, you don't go out of your way necessarily to take a point guard, but if John Morant or one of those other guys you just mentioned you think is the best guy on the board – sorry, we got to make that move and deal with what happens down the line. And honestly, dealing with it down the line is interesting on multiple levels, because having John Morant, who's, I don't think you can play John Morant and John Wall together, and yet I would still make the pick just if you, you know, based on talent. But the fact that we don't know what that would mean and that it could cause problems, I think is actually part of the problem for the Wizards this last year. John Wall has got to figure out how to, I don't want to play well with others, but he's got to figure out how to be more of a leader on the team, how to figure out how to get everybody on the same page together. And that is a huge concern for the Wizards, and it would be a risk to take a point guard, but I don't think they have to do it at this point. They need that type of presence, and you don't know where he's at physically at this point.
Ben, good stuff. We got to run. Check out the work at NBC Sports Washington. Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Ben. We didn't get to all our giveaways when we played Top 5. So right now, 10th caller at 800-636-1067. We're going to hook you up with tickets to go see the Nationals take on New York Wednesday, May 15th at Nats Park. Be one of the first 25,000 fans into the game, and you're going to take home a Trey Turner bobblehead, courtesy of the Washington Nationals. You can get more details at thefandc.com/contests.
Gotcha. All right.
And that's with the early game today. You know, one thing I want to get to tomorrow, we didn't get to it, was an article about the past rookies and how quickly they start in the NFL with Haskins. We got to get to that tomorrow.
Yep.
But coming up next, it's Grant and Danny on The Fan.
Bet it all.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.